Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination of Hebrews in chapter 10. And I want to back up and look at the verses that we examined in the previous episode just real quick and bring out a couple more points, and then we'll press on. So this is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It says this, therefore, and as always, we love those therefores, don't we? Because he's building an argument, the author is. The Spirit's leading them to bring some conclusion here. Therefore, brethren, okay, remember, they're brethren. They're true believers. Since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. And we saw this last time, and we saw what was going on right here. And I made a pretty big deal about what's coming up in verse 22, where it says, therefore, let us draw near with a sincere heart. The whole point being, hey, since we have this confidence, let us draw near. But don't forget this. Since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So he's saying what? Yes, I want us to draw near with a sincere heart, but realize this, that we have confidence. We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. So we're drawing near with this sincere heart by the blood of Jesus. We're drawing near with this sincere heart in full assurance of faith because our hearts have been sprinkled from evil by the blood of Jesus, because our bodies have been washed with pure water. You know, some people want to interpret that washed with pure water as being a picture of baptism. And, you know, that may be a picture of that. There may be. It's interesting why it would say pure water. It's like you have to use 99.99% pure water to be baptized. Or is he saying that our bodies have been washed with the pure water of the Word? We know the Word's referred to as water and that type of thing. But I think probably the idea right here is that there is a baptism thing that's related to this. So what occurs here is that the author is starting to fire off these requests. These instructions, dare I say, commandments. Okay, so he says, since we have this, since we have confidence to enter the holy place, since we have confidence to draw near, and the reason is the blood of Jesus has sprinkled our hearts and washed our hearts clear of an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water because of that, verse 23, let us hold fast. And this is another one, I don't have here in front of me, of these let us phrases. I want to say there's seven of them in the book of Hebrews, but I don't remember, so don't hold me on that. I know we've already encountered two or three of them. But as, and I know it sounds like I'm saying lettuce, like a salad. But he's saying, let us do something. And what he's saying right here, verse 23, is, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So he's encouraging them to hold fast. What does hold fast mean? I hear you answering, right? You know, to hang on to this thing, okay? To hang on tightly to something, you know? Hold fast to it. Don't back off this. Retain it, okay? Retain what it is. And so what does that tell you? If he's having to encourage, remember this is a word of exhortation, if he's having to exhort us to hold fast, then there might be a tendency to what? Hold loosely, let it go, take it for granted. Well, hold fast what? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Because he, and that's capital H, who promised, is faithful. Hold fast the confession of our hope. What is the confession of our hope? Well, he's already talked about it. He's talked about it in several different ways. It is our belief, our faith. It's the fact that you believe that Jesus did what he did for us, is the fact that you believe that he is Messiah, and you hold fast to that. He is our hope. And the confession is we proclaim that he's there. Now hang on to that. Things will come against you. The enemy will fire fiery darts at you to make you wonder about things, to make you doubt about things. Circumstance and situation will come against you that will do likewise. And he's saying, no, hold fast that confession. Hold fast the confession. And the big thing in Hebrews is what? That Jesus is better. Jesus is better than our previous religious system for the Jewish folks here, right? Jesus is better. Hold fast that without wavering. What does wavering mean? Oh, you know that, oscillating back and forth, being wishy-washy. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. The Lord is faithful. You hold fast that belief, whether you are struggling with an emotional response to things, whatever, hold fast that confession. Then, verse 24, he has another word of instruction. So let us hold fast, verse 24, let us consider how. So it's another let us phrase. So hold fast the confession of our hope. Why? Because he who promises is faithful. Verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Now remember, he's talking to the brethren. He's talking, and he's saying, hey, consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Now, we're good at stimulating one another, okay? Sadly, but it's often not in a good way. We need to consider how to stimulate, how to encourage, how to exhort. It literally carries the idea of provoking, incitement. You know, in the negative sense, it would be provocation or incitement or a dispute or something like that. But in this case right here, it's being used to say, hey, figure out how to channel that same type of thing in the direction of loving one another and good deeds. And then verse 25, this will be the last verse we look at, because this is all one sentence, 23, 24, and 25. We know each one of these little phrases right here, but when you put them together, it's really interesting. Verse 25 is quoted all the time, but do you know the context? So let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Tell you what, in our local Bible studies, anytime we see that phrase, the day, or in that day, or the great day, boy, our ears perk up, because we've done so much studying over the last, gosh, what, probably 10 years related to that, and how it's just pervasive within the scripture. You really pay some serious attention to that. So what he's saying is, hey, don't forsake your own assembling together. In other words, meet with the body of Christ. Now, out of our background, most of us, we're sitting there thinking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday night, all these things, you know. Yeah, I understand what you're talking about like that, but it's not just listening to a corporate type of thing like that, okay? He said, don't forsake hanging out with the body of Christ and being the body of Christ everywhere that you are. He says the habit of some who apparently had separated themselves. He said, don't do that. You need to encourage one another. That is where we learn how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That's how we consider how we're supposed to be loving and operating. And if somebody is wavering a little bit on their confession of hope, that we can exhort one another and we can encourage one another, particularly the more you see the day drawing near. He says you're going to have to do this more and more, this encouraging and this exhortation, as the day draws near. Well, what day? I believe most time when you see these kind of phrases, see what it is. This has something yet future from their perspective. It is yet future from our perspective also. It's likely speaking of the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. And boy, that is a wild thing to examine right there. So my time is up. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time, for your faithfulness. Share about these times with one another, and I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.